I wanted you to see that because I thought it painted a pretty good picture of where we're headed. For the next few weeks, we will be in the book of Daniel. And I love what Larry Osborne said there about the book of Daniel being written to adults who were in a strange place and a strange time, looking for direction, if you will. Because you think about what's going on outside of the walls of this building right now. It would seem as though we went to sleep one day in one decade, perhaps, and woke up in a completely different world where things that are normal to us are now not normal, where it is against the grain to do anything that might look like, sound like, feel like spirituality. And certainly, not just the fact that we talk about spiritual things, let's go one step further and introduce God, the God of the universe, into that world. That is not normal. It used to be, but it is not anymore. So here we are, and let's open our Bibles to Daniel chapter 1. Daniel chapter 1. If you're there this morning, as we begin this series, I called it "The Heat is On." We learned this week that the heat is definitely on. Because there are some things as we look at the life of Daniel and some of these instances where the heat gets turned up on him and how he responds, it is such a great timely response for us as believers today. When the heat gets turned up on our lives, what do we do? How do we respond? I like the heat. I said that before. I can only attest to the fact that I was born in June, and so I was hot from the beginning. Born in June in East Texas, and so it was probably hot from the very beginning, and I like the heat, but I don't necessarily like the spiritual heat. Whenever things get tough, how do I respond? I can tell you, it doesn't always end well for me. I hope you do differently. Let's look at Daniel chapter 1. We're going to read verses 8 through 16, so if you are willing and able, would you stand for the reading of God's word this morning? It says this, "But Daniel made up his mind that he would not defile himself with the king's choice food or with the wine which he drank. So he sought permission from the commander of the officials that he might not defile himself. Now God granted Daniel favor and compassion in the sight of the commander of the officials, and the commander of the officials said to Daniel, 'I am afraid of my lord the king, who has appointed you your food and your drink, for why should he see your faces looking more haggard than the youths who are your own age? Then you would make me forfeit my head to the king.' But Daniel said to the overseer whom the commander of the officials had appointed over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, 'Please test your servants for 10 days and let us be given some vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then let our appearance be observed in your presence and the appearance of the youths who are eating the king's choice food, and deal with your servants according to what you see.' So he listened to them in this matter and tested them for 10 days. At the end of 10 days, their appearance seemed better, and they were fatter than all the youths who had been eating the king's choice food." Amen. "So the overseer continued to withhold their choice food and the wine they were to drink, and kept giving them vegetables." I hope my children are listening. "As for these four youths, God gave them knowledge and intelligence in every branch of literature and wisdom. Daniel even understood all kinds of visions and dreams." Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. Father, it is divinely inspired, and we are completely inadequate to look at it without your help. Father, we ask for the help of the Holy Spirit as we seek your ways this morning, as we interpret your divine word. Father, would it penetrate our entire being that it might cause us to act and look and sound different, so that you might become the new normal. Father, would you work in each one of our hearts today? We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. As you are settling into your seat, I want to remind you what's going on here. You got a little glimpse of it in that trailer video for that video series, which is very good. I would encourage you, if you have not encountered or gotten logged into your Right Now Media account, you should go check it out. It's a lot of good material to look at. And it's useful for the growth and sake of the kingdom. Use it. That's why we give it to you freely. So what's going on here? Who are prophets anyway? We have the prophet Daniel. Prophet. What does that mean? Is that one of those code words? Is that one of those Christianese words? I'm a prophet. Prophet. Someone who is sent in a time of need to a group of people to either do one of a few things. They are sent to challenge the people to remain faithful in the face of uncertainty, perhaps. Sometimes they are sent to confront sin directly. All the while, they are God's mouthpiece. They are God's mouthpiece. And here we have the prophet Daniel, who is with the exiles, who is speaking to the group of exiles. They are a group of people that are far from home. They have been displaced from their home. They are in a foreign land. And now they have Daniel. They have a foreign land and a foreign king and a foreign country with everything different than what they know. Think about how that would be for you and I, to completely be displaced. Not just out of Jacksboro. I would say you'd have to go out of Texas because it's its own nation, right? That's a bad statement. I shouldn't say that. We treat it like it is. Become displaced from your home, from your family, from what you know. So you have to get used to some new norms. If you are displaced from what you know, what becomes normal? I want to play a little game with you guys. I thought this would be fun. So I want to put some, what you'll see on the screen in a moment is you will see a location and you will see some choices that are considered delicacies in other parts of the world. And your job as a congregation is to pick the right answer. Okay, let's put the first one up there. This is in China. There is bird's nest soup, fried pine needles, or muddy noodles. One of those is a delicacy in China. Can you guess which one it is? The youth say C. Some of them say C. A. All right, let's have it, Jonah. Ah, A is the right answer. Has anybody ever had bird's nest soup, by the way? Me either, okay? If I saw that on the menu, I'm probably not ordering it. Seen some bird nests. Not pretty. Let's do another one. Cambodia. There are boiled cockroaches, fried tarantulas, or snake hearts. Okay? Take your pick. I see B. I see C. And somebody said, I'm going hungry. I'm with that. All right. Let's have it. Fried tarantulas. Again, not going to order that if I see it on the menu. All right, let's do one more just for fun. Just one more. All right. In Vietnam, there are wine with a poisonous snake inside. There is live squid, or there is fried cockroaches. People like eating those things, apparently. B? A, C, man, you guys don't know your delicacies, do you? All right, Jonah, let's have it. Anybody ready to go jump out and go to lunch? I'm not even sure that my dog would eat some of that stuff, but I'm sure that it is a delicacy where it is from in that part of the world. That is the norm. And so as we begin to adjust to new norms and new standards and new things, this is where we find this group of people in exile. I want to read from chapter 1, verse 1, and go through verse 7. It says, "In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. The Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, along with some of the vessels of the house of God. And he brought them to the land of Shinar, to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasury of his God." So there's been an overthrowing of power. There has been a besieging of a nation. And then the king ordered Aspenaz, the chief of his officials, to bring in some of the sons of Israel, including some of the royal family and of the nobles. And here we are in verse 4. "Youths in whom was no defect, who were good-looking, showing intelligence in every branch of wisdom." You guys are all signed up for this, by the way. Y'all didn't catch that, did you? Y'all are all part of this group. Y'all could all be there. "Showing intelligence in every branch of wisdom, endowed with understanding and discerning knowledge, and who had ability for serving in the king's court. And he ordered him to teach them the literature and language of the Chaldeans." So here we are. Not only have you been displaced from your home, you're in a new land with a new dictator and a new, something new to learn. This is the norm. This is what is considered normal for the people that took over. We're going to bring in the good-looking, fine, well-to-do, smart people, and then we're going to indoctrinate them with something else. We're going to reteach them. "The king appointed for them a daily ration from the king's choice food and from the wine which he had drank." Now think about this. You are in a place that is far from home. You are learning new things. You are trying to get acclimated to the whatever normal is. And now the king has come along and said, "I'm going to give you my choice food and I'm going to give you my choice wine." That is a pretty good deal if you're far from home. And the king comes along and says, "You know what? I'm going to give this to you because you're smart and you're good looking and you are well-to-do and you can do all of these things and you are fit for serving in the king's court. I'm going to give you food and drink." Where do I sign up, right? Pretty good deal. Be a part of the king's court. Has a nice ring to it, doesn't it? "The king appointed them a ration." Remember in verse 5? "Now among them," in verse 6, "from the sons of Judah were Daniel, Hananiah, and Mishael, and Azariah. Then the commander of the officials assigned new names to them, and to Daniel he assigned the name Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah Shadrach, and to Mishael Meshach, and to Azariah, Abednego." New place, new culture, new information from the Chaldeans, and new diet, food and drink, and new names. It's almost like they went into witness protection. They got new everything. It sounds like a pretty good deal on the surface. I'll be a part of the king's court. But I want you to think about this. I read something from a commentary this week that said the plan of taking leading young men from the newly captured nation and turning them into Babylonians was a stroke of policy as heartless and high-handed as might be expected from a great conqueror. In some measure, the same thing has been done by all nations who have built up a worldwide dominion. The new names given to the youths, attaching them to the court, their education in Babylonian fashion, all were meant for the same purpose, to denationalize them, to strip them of their religion, and make them tools for more easily governing their countrymen. That sounds pretty familiar, doesn't it? Think about these worldwide powers. We're going to take everything that you think you know, we're going to strip it away from you, and we're going to give you everything new and better, because this is how we do it. And I love verse 8, because this is one of those big buts of the Bible. If you were writing a book, you could put it in there. Verse 8 starts with, but Daniel, the prophet, God's chosen mouthpiece, steps in and says, but Daniel made up his mind that he would not defile himself with the king's choice food or with the wine which he drank. Now let's stop right there. Daniel was going along. He got a new name. He got these guys that got a new name, right? And he's, but Daniel. What does that mean, but Daniel? You see, in our society, if we were to all, if there was a, let's just put it in terms that we can all understand today. If this amplifier spontaneously combusted and started a fire on this side of the room, and this keyboard over here that's plugged into an electrical source spontaneously combusted and started a fire on this side of the room, where are we going to exit as a church? That's right, Paxton, thank you. We're going straight out that door. We are all going to be moving in that direction. And so as we are all going with the new norm, because now there's a fire over here and a fire over here, and we have all established there is a new normal. And so we are going in the norm. We're going out the door. And I get all the way down here to the door, and I say, wait a minute, I need my guitar. And everybody is coming this way, and I have decided to turn around and go back this way. I have challenged the norm. For the sake of what? In this instance, it would be for the sake of something silly, a guitar. But Daniel challenged the norm. He decided to swim upstream when everybody else was swimming downstream. This is what it looks like for you and I to be a Christian in today's world, in today's society, for us to step out of these doors back there and everybody be swimming downstream. Everybody doing their own thing, finding their own way to get to God, which is a silly statement. There is one God and there is one way to get to Him. That is through Jesus Christ. And so for everybody to be swimming downstream, doing their own thing, for us to stand up and say, but that's not right, it immediately digs our heels into the ground and we have turned direction and we are swimming upstream in a downstream world. But Daniel made up his mind. What does that mean? I made up my mind. I don't know what that means. If you look at the definition of these words together in conjunction, how many of you guys have children or have done some babysitting, even light babysitting? I'm good with that. And you decide that you want to feed that child peas. And you get the spoon, and you get the bowl of peas, and you put the spoon in the peas, and you pick it up, and you begin to make every possible scenario that you can think of to get that child to open their mouth. Here comes the plane. And you hope that they open their mouth for peas or squash or whatever it is that you're trying to feed them. And they make up their mind before they ever touch that food, ever touches their mouth, that they are not going to eat it. You've been there, right? This is more than just an intellectual assent to making up your mind that I don't want peas. This is a rejection of peas altogether. It's not just that I've made up my mind, or the child has made up their mind that they don't want peas. They are going to put their body in a position where they cannot get peas. They are going to do everything possible to not experience peace. This is what it looks like scripturally for Daniel to have made up his mind. I'm not going to let it touch my mouth. I'm not going to partake in whatever it is that gets me to that point. I'm not going to be put in that position because I do not want it. Now, so many of us, myself included sometimes, would never make it to this part of the story. We would have just gone downstream. King's court, king's food, king's drink, new name, let's do it. And we would have gotten so far down the rabbit hole that by the time we really figured out that this is really not good, it's too late. But you see, God's chosen prophet and God's man made up his mind. It was predetermined, a divine predetermination that I will not let this happen to me. And after he decided that he had made up his mind that he would not eat or drink, he sought permission from the commander of the officials. I think it's interesting in our world full of protesting. Something doesn't go right with a group of people. Instantly, they're protesting with their little signs and their... Daniel had a perfect opportunity to protest, right? I'm not going to do this. I don't want it to be done to me. I don't want to eat this food. I don't want to drink this drink. I don't want to be a part of this. So I'm going to get my friends together who are like-minded with me. We're going to paint some signs and put out some stuff, and we're going to get a megaphone, and we're going to march around the king's court, and we're going to yell and scream that we are being oppressed. Right? That's what it looks like, isn't it? I'm being oppressed. Look at what Daniel does here. He had made up his mind that he didn't want this to happen. And what did he do? He sought permission from the commander of the officials that he might not defile himself. Even when we are completely within our boundaries to do something that is kingdom-minded, even when it is sometimes important that we communicate. That's a hard pill to swallow because we are so entitled. We are so selfish with our minds that we think, I am right. I am within my bounds. And so I don't have to do anything else except stand up for Jesus. There's a song in there, Brother Troy, somewhere. And yes, stand up for what you believe in. And yes, fight for what your, where your theology sits with God and who He is and what He says and what He's done through the person of Jesus Christ. But if the situation demands it or calls for it, do it the right way. Because Daniel could have made a really big stink out of this. But he asked for permission, and instantly what happened in verse 9, keep reading, now God granted Daniel favor. This is his covenant promise of loving kindness. It was granted to him instantly. So he didn't have to build picket fences and signs and rally the troops together and form a tea party, if you will. I don't know what else to say for that. He was granted divine favor and compassion in the sight of the commander of the officials. He was granted favor by God and compassion from the men who were over him. Now you have influence. Now you have a place to put your feet. Now you can stand on the word of God. But watch this. It did not change his situation instantly. Just because we do everything right, just because we stand for what God is and who God is and what he's done through the person of Jesus, it will not change always our situations instantly. Because the world is full of selfish people, just like the commander of the officials. Remember, he has been granted compassion from this person. And the commander of the officials said to Daniel, I am afraid of my lord the king. That's the king with a little k. The earthly king. He said, I'm afraid of the king who has appointed your food and your drink. For why should we see your faces looking more haggard than the youths who are your own age? Then you would make me forfeit my head to the king. Self-preservation usually wins. I'm going to do everything I can as long as it doesn't hurt me too much. Does that sound familiar? I'm going to do everything in my power to help you as long as it doesn't hurt me too much. But now, because he's not going to defile himself with the king's food and the king's drink, now somebody else's head is on the line. And the commander says, I'm afraid of the king. Why, if I give you this opportunity to not defile yourself, are you going to be looking sickly over here and everybody else eating the king's food and drinking the king's wine is going to look good over here? It's going to be my head on the line. There was still conflict. There was still strife. There was still trouble. Because Daniel had challenged the norm. And now somebody else's head was on the line. But Daniel, there's another one of those things, but Daniel said to the overseer whom the commander of the officials had appointed over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, please test your servants for 10 days. This is earth-shattering. Not only has Daniel challenged the norm to a world that is distant, now he has asked for permission to challenge the norm. And he has come up with a test so that somebody else's head is not on the line. The commander, to this point, of the officials has no idea who God is. Daniel knows. Sometimes we have to treat people. We treat people and we give them way too much credit sometimes. Even in church. You sitting in one of these wonderful, comfortable little red chairs makes me think that you know what I'm talking about. But sometimes people that come in and out of these doors of the church, they don't know. They're really searching for something, and I hope that as a church that we can show them something so radically different that when they leave, they realize there was something different about that. Daniel is challenging the norm with a different approach as well. Sometimes, church, it takes a different approach to get people to come to know who God is. I'm not suggesting that you go find them in the bar, okay? I'm not suggesting that you go and put yourself in a position where we will be drugged down into whatever it is that they're mulling around in. Whatever the world is doing, you don't have to do that. Daniel is not doing that. Daniel is not subjecting himself to the king's food or the drink. But he also comes up with a different approach to understand, to get people exposed to who God is. He made up his mind to be different to the point where his convictions led him to choose a different action. We have fallen into the trap as a church of trying to let different actions force us to become convicted. Where we try to let action inform our convictions whenever we should be letting our convictions drive our actions. Daniel was so convicted about this that he chose not to defile himself, that he chose to come up with a new way to approach this, to say, I want you to test us. You see, God's favor does not always change our response. What God's favor does for us is change us. It does not always change our surroundings. It does not always change our situations, but it does change us. And I love this as we finish. Test your servants for 10 days and let us be given vegetables to eat and water to drink. See, it is scriptural that you eat your vegetables, students. And then let our appearance be observed in your presence and in the appearance and the appearance of the youths who are eating the king's choice food, and deal with your servants according to what you see. So convicted about this that his actions drove him to a place where he was going to test what God's standard of the normal is versus the world standard. And you know what happens when we put God's standard up against the world standard? God's standards shine every time. So he listened to them in this matter, remember? He had compassion on Daniel, so he listened and tested them for 10 days. At the end of the 10 days, their appearance seemed better, and they were fatter. I like that. They were fatter than all the youths who had been eating the king's choice food. So the overseer continued to withhold their choice food and wine. They were to drink and kept giving them vegetables. This is how it all starts. When the heat got turned up, Daniel challenged the norm. There might be some parts in our lives this morning where God has been spiritually turning up the heat. He's allowing you to go through something. He's allowing me to go through something to turn up the heat. And he's saying, I really would like for you to challenge the norm on this. I would really, really like for you to challenge the norm and trust me. And that's difficult. It's difficult sometimes to do that. So will we be swept into the crowd, if you will, and just go on with our what looks good and seems good, king's food, king's drink, down the rabbit hole we go? Or will we actually allow God to let us see where we need to challenge the norm of what is going on outside of these walls so that we can find new ways and new approaches and new tests, and let people see the God that we serve? Daniel did not want to do this so that he could show off. Look how good vegetables make me. He wanted to show off his God. Will we do that this week? Will we allow God to be seen through what we do? Will we challenge the norm at every turn as we go out from this building and bring people back with us and say, look, I want you to test this. I want you to try church 10 times. I want you to try church 10 times in a year. Just tell people that. Quote Daniel 1. They did a test for 10 days. I want you to try it 10 days. Give me 10 days. That might work. Show them God. Invite them to come and know who Jesus is. Let's pray. Father, thank you for our time together. Father, as we look at this text from Daniel 1, Father, as we are convicted by this text, not to fall into the trap of the world, not to look at what seems like such a great plan, but to look at Daniel and his resolve. Father, before we ever get to our Babylon, before we ever get to that situation, would we have already made up our mind that we are going to challenge the norm, that we are going to act differently, that we are going to be mouthpieces for you that build and do not do harm? Father, I pray for each person in this room, because when we leave this building, we enter our own form of exile. Each one of us has a different place to go and a different group of people to inform. Father, would we be found faithful in showing them God? Thank you so much for your word. Thank you for what's about to happen in this place. And we give this time to you. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.